Hi, my name is Harold Horgan, CEO of the York Group. For more than 20 years, we have been working with technology companies to help them develop and implement their business strategies. One of the biggest challenges facing companies today is adapting their business model to cloud-based technologies being sold on a subscription basis. We have worked with thousands of technology companies worldwide, giving us a unique insight into the issues you have to deal with. Microsoft has asked me to share our experiences through this series of webinars. There are a total of 11 modules covering almost every aspect of the cloud business model, and combined they are intended to give the guidance you need to be successful in the cloud. As most of you realize, our industry is going through a transition unlike any we have seen in 30 years. The last major transition was the move from mainframes to client-server technology. It was hugely disruptive to the big box manufacturers, many of whom went out of business. But the emergence of client-server technology created the foundation for a business model that has lasted for 35 years, with thousands of companies, usually very small companies, that started developing new solutions to run on these little desktop machines, resellers to sell and install the hardware and software, and distributors to handle the logistics of shipping lots of small orders to tens of thousands of resellers. Services companies are the one category of partners that has endured through the entire evolution from mainframe to the cloud. And in many ways, they are the ones that are best suited to benefit from the transformation we are going through now. ISVs have to rebuild their existing solutions and work through a more complex business model transformation. Resellers are increasingly threatened by direct sales from SaaS vendors and marketplaces that make it easier for customers to find, try, and buy solutions without the involvement of a local reseller. Distributors with massive investments in physical infrastructure and razor-thin margins face an existential threat to their business model if they can't find ways to add value to the food chain, value that offsets the reduction in revenues from physical distribution of products. Services companies, on the other hand, have always had a role to play, and in the foreseeable future, there is no reason to expect this will change. Sure, there will be reduced services from hardware and network implementations, but any software solution that is going to be installed in an existing corporate IT environment will require services, such as data migration, integration, customization, and user training, things that you already know how to do. But for many of you, there will be opportunities for higher value services, such as application management services and business process reengineering, as corporations change the way they do business to adapt to standardized SaaS solutions and a range of other managed services. With the existing skills that you have and the market that you are servicing, you are ideally positioned to expand your revenues through the creation of repeatable IP. In another webinar, I will walk you through the impact on your business at a high level, but for many of you, it can be a relatively low-cost opportunity to grow and to increase the value of your company. Which brings us to the agenda for today. I'm going to start by emphasizing the importance of recurring revenues. Many of you get it or intuitively understand that making money while you sleep is a good thing, but because our industry is making a fundamental shift in this direction, I want to walk you through how much you can benefit. This also has a big impact on the value of your business, short-term and long-term. I will talk about why building repeatable IP is easier now than in the past. And finally, for those who just want to test the waters on commercializing their IP, I will give you examples of some low-cost, low-risk go-to-market strategies. A primary driver behind the growth of the cloud industry is recurring revenues. Venture capitalists are not investing in companies just because they think the technology is cool. It is because they like the growth and predictability of recurring revenues. Do you remember your parents encouraging you to save your pennies and over time you would benefit from the magic of compound interest? At least back when banks were actually paying interest. But the idea was that you should start saving early, even if it was only a little bit to start. Continue to put some money away at regular intervals, and not only would the money you save yourself start to add up, but you would start to see the benefits of compounded interest. The money the bank paid you in interest would be added to your savings and would also start to earn interest. At the end of the day, the magic of compound interest can create a lot more value for you than just what you earn and save yourself. The recurring revenue model works much the same way. You get your first client paying per month, and you will continue to get those revenues as long as they renew their contract. Then you add more clients, and those revenues are additive. When you have a successful recurring revenue model, it is almost impossible to have a down year because your revenues are baked into the contracts. There is always the potential for churn, in other words, clients that don't renew, and I discuss this in detail in the webinar on financial metrics. Keeping clients satisfied is essential, and in the webinar on scaling your customer support, I talk about how you can use customer satisfaction to not only resolve support issues, but increase your revenues. There is one big difference between compound interest and recurring revenues. Recurring revenues are other people's money. It is revenue you are generating from your clients rather than your own savings that you are setting aside. I know that I am probably belaboring this point, but it is such a fundamental shift in business models, and it has such far-reaching implications for you as a company that it does need to be emphasized. The fact that your revenues become predictable from year to year changes your cash flow model, and it also has a big impact on your value as a company. Selling new projects to maintain and grow your revenues is hard work. While most of you have recurring revenues from services contracts and repeat business from existing clients, you still have to invest time and resources to constantly find new clients and sell new projects. I am not saying that this goes away in a recurring revenue model. Far from it. You still have to sell in order to get new clients. But you are much less vulnerable to changes in the economy, a new competitor emerging in your market, or changes in your staff. We have seen companies have been doing great, take a hit to the revenues after losing some key employees, such as salespeople or senior project managers. If your clients are on services contracts with regular payments, you are much less likely to see a decrease in your revenues. Every business owner wants to increase the value of their business. This includes the annual cash flow as well as the long-term value in the event the company is sold. The increase in the exit value is a powerful incentive for many business owners. A company valuation is based on profit margins and revenue predictability. According to Revenue Rocket, a Minneapolis-based company that specializes in helping project services companies transition to SLA and subscription-based business models, companies that have made the transition have an average gross profit margin that is 12 percentage points higher than those that don't. That is a significant improvement. The companies with higher gross margin have typically changed their business focus to higher value services. Services often fall into three major buckets. Advisory services, such as change management, business process analysis, IT strategic and tactical planning. Technology services, application development, deployment, configuration, integration, project management, all the things that are typically associated with systems integrators, a category Microsoft is now referring to as project services partners. And finally, managed services. This can involve everything from application management to infrastructure support and management to transaction processing. The biggest distinction has been that managed services are typically structured as an SLA-based monthly services contract, while advisory services and technology services are project-based. But even that is changing, and I will explain why in a couple of minutes. I mentioned earlier that services companies with an SLA-based business model have an average gross margin that is 12 percentage points higher than those that don't. And here you can see why. Applications management services have the highest gross margin of all services, higher than advisory services and significantly higher than technology services. When you combine the predictability of recurring revenues with the higher margins from managed services, and in particular applications management services, the value of a services company increases dramatically. This varies depending on margins, growth rates, and economic conditions, but the average multiple for a traditional project services company is 4 times trailing 12 months earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. LSA, or recurring revenues-based businesses, have an average multiple of 7 times, and those that are running at the top of their game can get as much as 10 times. It seems like everyone is looking for recurring revenues these days. Private equity firms are financing large roll-ups, building national organizations, and they are focused on companies with recurring revenues. Others in your field are expanding through acquisition, and they prefer companies with recurring revenues because it mitigates the risk of revenues dropping off because clients or employees leave. The conclusion has to be that whether you just want to be more profitable and/or you want to position yourself for an exit, transitioning to a recurring revenue model will help you achieve both objectives. Which brings us to the rationale for building repeatable IP. We are starting to see a blurring of the lines between different partner categories, and in part, this is being driven by a convergence in the business models for traditional ISVs and services partners. The move to subscription models for package service is clear, and this is actually changing the role of an ISV from being a product development and sales operation to become a services organization. No longer are they simply licensing the right to use their technology. They are provisioning a service, and this requires a different mindset. At the same time, project services companies are increasingly being asked by their clients to deliver services on a managed basis. We are seeing more and more examples of customers asking their custom applications developer to change the pricing and payment model from milestone-based development and delivery to an extended contract with monthly payments that include developing and maintaining the application. This all means that packaged application developers and custom application developers are converging on the same business model. Building repeatable IP is a great way of extending your relationship with existing clients and to establish relationships with new clients. Every new deployment of your IP with a client creates an opportunity to generate more revenues. I mentioned this earlier, but each relationship has the potential to drive more services. Upselling to an existing client is far less costly than selling to a new client, and repeatable IP can be a door opener to all of the other services you have. Or your existing services clients are prospects for the new IP that you have developed. So what we are finding is that customers that buy a SaaS or a subscription-based solution have more money to spend on services. The reduced upfront outlay gives them more flexibility to add services that bring even more value to how they use the solution. Now, they may want to pay for some of those services through a subscription model, but as we have already discussed, that is really a benefit to you as well. But you say, we don't want anything to distract us from our existing business. We aren't an IP company, we are a services company. I would say that just about every successful company is an IP company. Even if your unique skills or processes haven't been documented, trademarked, or patented, as a service company, you are finding new ways to help your clients solve their problems. We have been working with software vendors since the early 1990s, and many of the packaged software solutions started as a consulting project. A consultant would go in to solve a problem for a large company and sometimes develop a fairly comprehensive solution for that client. Then, after going home, they start thinking, well, if company XYZ has this problem, maybe other companies like them have the same challenge. So they start knocking on doors to see if they can sell the work they've already done as a more packaged solution. Now, keep in mind that in order to do that, their contracts had to give them the right to retain the IP. But this still applies today. One of my clients custom developed a very sophisticated modeling tool for a large insurance company, and as part of the deal, they reduced their development fees in return for retaining the IP. The overall project was almost $20 million, but they now have a cloud-based solution that they have sold to three other insurance companies for a license fee of $1 million each, plus many millions more for the deployment. Now, that is the kind of distraction that most companies can put up with. Okay, now that is really an extreme example in terms of the scope, but the basic principle applies to smaller solutions and processes that are developed for a client. In many cases, they can be used by others. This has been the strategy for Microsoft Dynamics for many, many years. A partner would sell a license for Dynamics to a specific vertical, say retail, and then do the implementation. Then they would sell licenses to two or three other more retail clients, and all of a sudden they would have a number of customizations that were specific to retail, but they were valid for all retail customers. They standardized and packaged those customizations and released their own vertical market application, fully integrated with Dynamics. In many cases, they remained a services company as a core business, but some were so successful they either transitioned into becoming an ISV or spun off a separate product group. Another fairly common scenario is a process that you might have developed to help with your own deployments. Another client of mine, a large offshore development firm, had developed a process that made their projects more efficient. It reduced the amount of time they had to spend on a certain aspect of a project. They had refined the process to the point where it became a standard package tool that ended up being used on more than 70 projects. They decided to commercialize it by setting up a product group with its own sales and marketing team. I know, you already told me that you don't want any distractions from your core business. You are a services company, not a product company. But the good news is that the cloud makes it so much easier to commercialize your IP. In the good old days, say 5 to 10 years ago, things were more complicated. Once you had this great idea, you had to productize it so that it could become a standard solution with less customization for each new client. In order to scale the business, you had to spend money on marketing and then hire salespeople or recruit a channel to drive your revenues. So yes, you did have to become a product company. Having a cloud application is easier to take to market without disrupting your day-to-day business, which I will discuss in the next section. If you are a technical organization, you might be concerned with what it would take to actually sell your solution to new customers. It is a bit of an oversimplification, but the cloud does make it easier to monetize your IP. We have a second webinar that walks you through the key changes you will want to consider depending on how strategic your move into repeatable IP is. If commercializing your IP is just a nice bonus, there are a number of ways that you can go to market without having to spend a lot of money on marketing and sales. The Microsoft Marketplaces make it easy and painless. You can post your solution on the Windows Store or in the Azure Marketplace, and when people find it and want to buy it, they can complete the transaction in the Marketplace. You will find more details in the webinar on the keys to a successful cloud channel program, but affiliate marketing is a way of driving leads at little cost or risk to you. The leads would normally come back to your website, so you would need a landing page, possibly with a link to a marketplace if you do not want to set up a transaction engine on your own website. And finally, you could license the technology to other companies that have more of a commercial model for IP, typically ISVs that would bundle your solution into theirs. They would pay you a licensing fee for each subscription they sell, and it would normally be their responsibility to handle sales, marketing, and technical support. So these are some of the ways you can dip your toe in the water if you're not ready to make reselling IP a strategic part of your business. I just want to come back to a point I made at the beginning of this webinar. Project services companies and managed services companies are, in many ways, well positioned to extend their business model. While there will be some changes necessary, it doesn't have to be disruptive. Let's take one last look at the similarities between the business models. If you are a project services company, in many cases you are developing custom applications. In other words, you are creating IP, even if it is work for hire. You are implementing that solution with your client, which might involve integration with other systems, training, and other related services. And you might also have a support contract under a managed services agreement. Now, let's compare that with the elements of an IP business. You are still creating apps, or you have apps that you have already created, for which you were able to retain the IP. Instead of getting fee-based payments for a one-off, you would be collecting subscription revenues from multiple clients. Depending on the application and its complexity, you are likely to get an implementation project involving some or many of the services we have discussed earlier. And finally, you will be getting subscription renewals that include customer support. Now, the customer support revenue by itself does go away because it's built into the subscription, but it would be for a potentially much larger group of clients. In the webinar today, my goal was to show you why you should be adding repeatable IP to your business model. The underlying rationale is the importance of recurring revenues and the role it plays in adding value to your business. There's a long tradition of services companies developing unique solutions that have become very successful products. Many of you do this as your core business, so it makes a lot of sense to monetize the IP you're creating. Finally, I outlined three go-to-market strategies that do not involve a lot of your time, nor do they require much of an investment in sales and marketing. Thank you for taking the time to view this webinar. As mentioned during the introduction, it is part of a series of webinars that Microsoft has put together to help you be successful with your cloud solution. So I would encourage you to view other webinars that cover topics that are relevant to you. You should also feel free to contact me if there are any questions or issues that I can help with.